May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Amen. Well, it's Christmas morning. Who's excited about Christmas? All those folks out there? Yeah. Well, what a wonderful day. I wonder, what's your favourite part of Christmas? Is it putting up the Christmas tree and getting that all decorated? It's a wonderful part of Christmas, isn't it? Or maybe it's singing along to the Christmas carols. I wonder who likes the Sydney carols and who likes the Melbourne carols. They're all good. Or maybe it's getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to open Christmas presents. Anyone here who suffered through that this morning? Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it? Or maybe it's seeing the new Star Wars film. Who's going to see that? Yeah, it's a wonderful day. Perhaps the only thing that's more important on Christmas Day than tradition is family. It's a wonderful time to be together, and it's that time when we get to see all the family resemblances come out. We get to see how the eye colour's all in the family, or maybe it's the hair, you know, that's there. But there's also emotional similarities that we see too at Christmas. We get to see who gets stressed, who likes to help out, and who just runs for cover. Christmas is a wonderful time. But it's more than just physical and emotional similarities. There's also a spiritual resemblance that plays out too, because Christmas draws our attention to what's really important in life, and it draws our eye to where we are going. These spiritual resemblances can be a little harder to see because sometimes our eyes just aren't quite attuned to it. John's gospel brings these things into sharp focus for us. It draws our attention to the light, and it draws our attention to the reality of darkness, and it draws our attention to what it means to be part of God's family. So I just wanted to have a quick look at these three things today. So let's start with light. Light is something really distinctive about the Australian Christmas, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever had Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere, but here in the Southern Hemisphere, Christmas is light. Light gives us energy. It helps us to grow. Light gets us up and gets us going. 15 minutes of daylight is all it takes to make us feel healthier and happier and stronger. So you can see why John's reading is all about the light. In the beginning was life, and the life was the light of all people. What an epic beginning. But what kind of light are we talking about? Is it the light from a star or a supernova? No, John says the light that is shining is a person. It's Christ. The Word became flesh and has dwelt among us. We have seen the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The God who's made everything, the God who sustains everything, has become flesh and blood, has joined the human family. I don't know if you're aware of just how scandalous that idea is, that God became human. Certainly for peers of Jesus, if you're Greek or Roman, this was unbelievable because everyone knew the God stayed on Mount Olympus and only caused misery for us here on earth. But if you were Jewish, well, God was so pure, he just wouldn't bother getting in all the muck down here. So when John is saying that God has come in human form, it is a deeply scandalous idea. But why would God do this? Why would God put on a body all its aches and pains, with all its flabbiness, with hair that disappears? Why would God do that? John explains this simply. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overpowered it. The darkness has not put it out. It jumps into human history to deal with darkness once and for all. God puts on human flesh because he knows what human reality is like. We live in a world, don't we, that has this uncanny propensity to go off the rails. That's why we've had no end of royal commissions. That's why we have FBI investigators. That's why we have consumer protections and workplace safety. It's why we have a free media and anti-discrimination law and marriage equality. God enters our world because we are always on this precipice of darkness. We're always inclined towards tyranny and oppression in our world or in our own lives. Addiction and hopelessness are never far away. Darkness doesn't simply misunderstand the light. It hates the light. It doesn't want anything to do with the light. If it can squish it and distort it and get rid of it, that's what darkness does. But John encourages us. John says the light has come and the darkness will not overcome it. John goes further to describe this light. He describes it as truth. Now, for most of us, we might ask with Pilate, what is truth? For many of us, truth is an abstract series of principles or laws that just kind of seem out there somewhere. But the truth is bigger than this. The truth is about things that are right and good, things that are real and solid and dependable. Truth is like the Rolex that you buy, while the lie is like the knockoff we all go for in Bali. Truth is real. You can smell it. It has authenticity and character. Truth is what makes our lives strong. But God knows that we struggle with darkness. God knows how easy it is to fall for lies. And so the eternal God takes on human form in the person of Jesus. Not simply that we can know the truth intellectually, but that we can see it with our eyes, that we can touch it, that we can hold it, that we can know it with all of our being. That is the promise of Christmas. The truth has come. But what John wants us to see perhaps most clearly of all, is that it's not just about truth, it's about grace. The awful irony about Christmas is that when God comes, when Jesus enters human form, his family didn't want him. The awful truth is that the nation that he came to didn't recognize him. The people that God freed from Pharaoh and encouraged constantly by prophet after prophet, they just wanted glory and power. But the light that is Christ, is not just truth, it is also grace. Christians have a funny relationship with grace. We tend to think of it in terms of God's unmerited favor. But sometimes I wonder if that's a bit like describing the Mona Lisa as a rather small painting of a rather perplexing woman. Grace is the thing that reaches out through the darkness, through our fear, through our lies, and through our self-protection. Grace is the thing that takes hold of our hearts and pulls us in towards the light. Grace is what warms us. Grace is what thaws us out. Grace is what softens us. The only thing that destroys God's enemies is grace. Not because it destroys them utterly, but it transforms them into friends. needs. This is why grace is so important to John, and why he says to all who have received him, all who've believed in Jesus' name, he gives the power to become the children of God. This is a picture of grace. God knows that although we want the light, most of the time we just don't get it. Most of the time we don't trust it. Most of the time we just want to turn tail and run and hide. The darkness is safe. The darkness is where we get to do our own thing. The darkness is where we get to live life the way we want it to. But the thing about darkness is that we are always alone. God calls a family together. The light comes so that God's people can be a family together in the light. Christmas is more than tradition. It's more than family resemblances. It's about the spiritual resemblance that we see, the light that we share. And so Christmas offers us more than presents and pudding. It offers us the opportunity to see the light that surrounds us, the light that is in Christ, and to leave all the darkness behind. In Christ, at Christmas, we have the opportunity to become a family, to find ourselves together at Christ's table and open to grace and to truth. Grace allows us to be loved. This is the miracle of Christmas, that we are loved by God. And when we let ourselves be loved, we find that our hearts and our spirits begin to soar. When we let ourselves be loved, we no longer insist upon having everything our own way. When we let ourselves be loved, we discover hope. And although the world remains a hard and a dark place, we discover that hope dawns within. So my prayer for you this Christmas is that you might see beyond the traditions, that you might see beyond the family resemblances, to see the work of God's Spirit in your life, to discover the grace and the truth of Christ, and to live it out this day, today and forevermore. Amen.